Hello, little one. So, last time we read the story of, who was that? I can't even remember. It's the guy who made the clay, statue thing. Anyway. You wanted to hear me do more of this stuff, so have a couple of more stories that I'll read to you. And you just be a good girl and sit there and listen. So, up first, we have the myth of Pygmalion and Galatea. The myth of Pygmalion and Galatea is probably one of the most known stories in Greek mythology. The myth is also one of the most influential and inspiring ancient Greek myths and became the main theme for theatrical plays, movies, and artistic paintings. So, Pygmalion the sculptor was a talented man in Greece, and he was from Cyprus. After becoming disgusted by some local prostitutes, he lost all interest in women and avoided their company completely. Pygmalion saw women as flawed creatures and vowed never to waste money or any moment of his life with them again. He decided himself. He dedicated himself to his work and soon created Galatea, a beautiful statue. No, I remember the last story I read was Pandora. This is the statue guy. Anyway, a beautiful statue of a woman out of ivory. It's a lot of work, ivory. Ironically, the masterpiece of his life was the statue of a woman. Perhaps he sought to correct in marble the flaws he saw in women of flesh and blood. However, Pygmalion worked so long and with such inspiration on the statue of Galatea that it became more beautiful than any woman that had ever lived or been carved in stone. As he finished the stone's features, they became exquisitely lovely, and he found himself applying the strokes of hammer and chisel with increasing affection. When his chisel finally stopped ringing, there stood before him a woman of such perfection that Pygmalion, who had professed his disdain of all females, fell deeply in love. I am deeply in love with you, so maybe you're my statue. He would bring it gifts, caress it, kiss it, and talk to it every day. He brought gifts he thought women would enjoy, such as pretty seashells, beads, songbirds, baubles, and flowers. He would dress the statue in fine clothing and put rings on her fingers, necklaces around her neck, and even earrings. However, what irony that he who had scorned women would fall in love with a woman who could never love him in return. Such a passion couldn't go unnoticed by the goddess of love, Aphrodite. She took pity on the young man, and when Pygmalion went to her temple to sacrifice a bull, Aphrodite gave him a sign. As the offering burned on the temple, the flame shot up one, two, and three times. Pygmalion went home, wondering what to make of the manifestation he had seen. When he entered his studio, however, he saw that the statue. He saw the statue Now, when he entered his studio, however, and saw the statue, all his other thoughts were banished from his mind. He ran to his statue and embraced it. Did she see warm to his touch? Was that just residual heat from the sunset that had warmed the stone? He kissed her. Did the statue's lips seem soft? He stood back and regarded her. Did there appear the glow of life within the marble form? Was he imagining it? No. Aphrodite had given life to the statue, whose name was Galatea. Pygmalion's mind oscillated between doubt and joy, fearing that he may be mistaken again and again with a lover's ardor. He touches the object of his hopes. It was indeed alive. The veins, when he pressed, yielded to the finger and again resumed their roundness. Slowly it dawned on Pygmalion that the animation of the sculpture was the result of his prayer to Aphrodite, who knew his desire. At last, the votary of Aphrodite found words to thank the goddess. Pygmalion humbled himself at the goddess's feet. Soon, Pygmalion and Galatea were wed, and Pygmalion never forgot to thank Aphrodite for the gift she had given him. Aphrodite blessed the nuptials she had formed, and this union between Pygmalion and Galatea produced a son named Paphos, from whom the city of Paphos in Cyprus received its name. Pygmalion and Galatea brought gifts to her temple throughout their life, and Aphrodite blessed them with happiness and love in return. The unusual love that blossomed between Pygmalion and Galatea enthralls all, falling in love with one's creation and then getting the desired object. As wife, perhaps this was destined for Pygmalion. Even to this day, countless people and young lovers are mesmerized by this exceptional love that existed between two persons at a time when civilization was at its infancy. I guess I have to go send a prayer to Aphrodite so that I can finally be with my one true love. My PC. Not just kidding. You know I love you. If you want more stories, I guess you'll just have to tell me. Okay? Because I have more. I have the story of, let's see, the story of Orpheus and Eurydice, I guess. Story of Apollo and Daphne. The story of Diana, I think. Still a woman that Zeus spies on, but I'm not sure. Who else do we have? The ancient fairy tale of Cupid and Psyche, where love endures against all odds. And story of Hades and Persephone. I guess you'll just have to tell me what you want to hear next, okay?